the sun is out now because time has changed.
That's right. Welcome to the woodworking podcast.
The
only worthwhile woodworking. I'm just kidding. There's actually a few good ones. Off the Cut is not one of them, though.
What episode number is this?
129.
Wow. Seems like it was just yesterday we were on 100. That was like 29 weeks ago or something.
Right.
I'm just guessing.
Roughly 29 weeks.
I'm guessing.
Well, I do have some news. We do have a new patron.
Yay.
Oh, cool.
We had Mr. Nick Daniel sign up at the $3 tier. That is a
floor sweeper. No, tool sharpener.
I think so. No, hand sander.
Hand sander.
I'm so bad about remembering what we changed the names to, and it doesn't tell me when they sign up on the email. But either way,
welcome, Nick.
Daniel. Nick Daniel.
Yeah, welcome, Nick.
Yes.
Thank you so much for becoming a part of our wonderful Patreon community. And actually, hold on, before we do that, I did get word from TSO Products. They will be sponsoring the giveaway for this month.
Awesome.
And the winner will receive a $100 store credit / gift card / however it is that they need to do it. But it's one lucky winner, one lucky patron, because again, these giveaways are for patrons only, will win said gift card. And we will also do a drawing at the end of the month at the same time for one other new random piece of swag from Festool. Some cool trinket or something.
Okay. So, hey, did we hand out... give away that insulated bag?
Yeah, it's actually going out in the mail tomorrow.
I don't know if you two guys know this, but in my meeting today, I found out that bag fits perfectly in a Sustaina.
Bro, really?
Oh, really? Isn't that cool? Isn't that wicked cool?
Huh. I just don't think that's by chance.
Definitely did not plan that.
You have to trust the system.
Hey-o. Thank you to today's sponsor, Festool.
Hey.
No.
I know somebody who works there.
If you want your chance to win these awesome giveaways, you must be a patron. And speaking of patrons.
Oh, boy. We got news.
Big news today for everyone that is a patron out there. And everyone who is not a patron, I highly encourage you to become a patron after you listen to this episode. Because we have, drum roll, please. We have decided we are 100% doing a Green Suitors Con meetup. And it will be, mark your calendars. Look, we're telling everybody way in advance. You can move heaven on earth and make sure that you can attend this event.
Cancel your weddings.
September 20th, 21st, 22nd, 20th through the 22nd. It is a Friday, it is a Saturday, and it was a Sunday.
That's 5.5 months away announcement.
Whoa. Yes. So
that's
plenty of advance notice. You
better get your undies and your bunches and get there. It's going to be so much damn fun.
Yes. We will have more details on what exactly it will entail. However, the location is going to be a little place which was recommended by Dirk from Dayton, I believe. Correct? Newport on the Levee. Basically Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes, and I think after Dirk brought it up, we have met about it now like 3 times.
Yes.
And investigated, and we made sure that it was going to work, and we are so excited. It has surpassed our expectations in what it can provide for us.
Yes.
And I had a buddy who was at the aquarium there this weekend, and he was telling me all about it, and I was like, you have no idea, dude. I will be there in September.
Very cool.
Yes. Yeah, he loved it. It was Rick, Ronnie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's also the Oktoberfest. The festivities are going on during that while this would be going on, which is really kind of a cool thing because Cincinnati, I know very little about the background, but I do know they have a very strong German like background that helped like start the city up, I guess. So because of that, they take Oktoberfest very seriously.
And it's going on while we're there.
Yes.
And what's the big part of Newport on the Levee? It's where the Hofbrau House is.
Yes. Woo-hoo! Right across the street from where our
right across the street where we plan
are.
On staying. So with that, the hotel that we are looking at right now, if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm doing everything right now and I don't do anything yet, right? We'll have all the info that everybody needs. However, we're probably we're looking at a loft hotel, and it is right across the street from the Hofbrau House. We have some cool stuff planned. The idea would be Friday night or Friday people fly in. We all get an awesome group dinner. We're planning some certain activities for Saturday. We're obviously going to check out the Oktoberfest festivities. And then probably close the day off at the Hofbrau House. And it's just going to be a great time. It's going to be super fun.
Beer.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who does not know about the Hofbrau House, I actually found out about it because of the Covington location, Newport. There's only, I don't know how many, maybe six in the world. Maybe. I'm guessing. I'm totally guessing. But Munich, Germany is the original one. And then I believe there's at least.
Chicago. I've been to Chicago, which is Rosemont. And I've been to Vegas.
I thought there
I've
was one in
Vegas. I've been three times to the one in Munich.
Yeah,
and I haven't been to this one, so I am so excited.
Yeah, there it's an authentic like German pub where they have
it's
the
huge owned
Steins.
By the same company that yes. like makes the
same
has
brand
the original one. Yep.
Yes,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really cool experience. Like I've been there, the one that we'd be going to a few times, and I get to see the one in Munich. No, was it Munich? Yeah, Munich. I got to see that one this summer, and I was shocked at how much. This one looks exactly like the other one. Like they actually made it even down to the furniture is the same. The big, huge, long tables. It's just a really cool place. And
every single one you go to, you can get spanked. I love that. Love that.
I don't know if we've said this yet, but just to be clear, this meetup is for patrons only. So if you want to attend and come hang out, then you must be a patron. It's not capped at a certain Patreon level. Like any patron, all patrons are welcome to attend this, but it will be reserved for patrons only. So one thing that we will do this week, so actually we'll do it after this episode airs publicly. We're going to make a little SurveyMonkey style deal. We're going to push that out to everybody. Just going to be a couple of questions. Do you plan on attending? How many people? That kind of stuff. And that way we just have a better idea of exactly how much we're going to need of different things. So if you guys are planning on going, that would definitely be the best thing to do is.
And I'm thinking of getting, I'm so excited. I might get some new underwear for the weekend.
Oh, you know? We also we're working on negotiating special rates, hotel rates, and trying to get
correct
so we can have the cost as low as possible for everyone attending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you were to look online right now at what that room costs during that time, it's like $360 a night. So
yeah, we got good rates going.
Yes, I can assure you that they will not be that expensive. It will probably be somewhere around half of that price. But man, it's going to be fun. Two nights. It's in a great location. It's right at the Cincinnati Airport. It's very close. We won't have to worry about travel, in the area. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of local people that are going to have cars that are going to come in.
And more importantly, there's at least 2 to 3 really good places to get wingies.
Yes, there are. The other side of the hotel is there's a Hooters and that's the river. And then it's across from the Bengals and Red Stadium is right across the water from there. So it's in a great spot. And for anyone doing some pre research on the airport is CVG. That's Covington. The CVG is the initials. And it's like, I'd say 12 minutes, 15 minutes at the most from this location. So that's if you would be flying in. That would be the best airport. Next to that would be...
That's the Cincinnati airport, but it's called CVG. Yeah.
Correct. Because it's actually on the Kentucky side. But yep. Anybody wants to do pre-research, there you go. But we think a lot of people will probably be driving. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
The numbers.
I will be interested to see driving, because that'll be a question that we put in there.
Yeah.
Would you be driving or would you be flying? Because that will also give us an idea of about how many vehicles we think we're going to have there. So in the event that we did decide we wanted to go somewhere in that area as a group, that we would have plenty of rides. And if not, you know, we'll get Ubers and all that stuff. But I just think it's going to be one big, fun hangout. Like,
yeah, and the other thing too is, if you are driving and there's a brewery in your area, it's always good to bring Sedgy some beers.
He likes IPAs.
Yeah. I like hazy IPAs. Hazy IPAs.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be hurting at Oktoberfest, then you're going to have to drink a bunch of German beers.
It's okay. They got Hefeweizen. Hey, at the Las Vegas Hofbrauhaus one time, they pushed me up on stage. You know how you do that leader hold out in front of you?
Yes.
There's 30 people out there, and the old man won.
I love German drinking games.
Me too. Love
and
it.
And you know that they're going to have them everywhere. They're going to have good food. Yeah. Oh, God, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, they have
sausage.
They have one of those. I can't remember what it's, you know, the towers with the clocks on the top that have the board and batten.
Oh, yeah.
What they called?
Clock towers.
Yeah, that's it. It's like the German, they have a square there that's like represents their German culture. That's where it's like based out of, right? It's really close to there.
Oh,
but they have like a park, and it just seems like it'd be a perfect location for us just to all hang out the same way we did at Workbench Con and talk tools and all that kind of stuff.
What really blew my mind and made me even more excited about it was after I got off the phone with the Aloft representative today. And she immediately said, what are the dates? And I told her, and she immediately said, oh, you're coming at a great time. But that's why the hotel rates are as expensive as they are. And I'm like, oh, man. She goes, that's the week of Oktoberfest in Cincinnati. And she's like, people, it's going to be wild. And she told me that they also do one at Newport in the Levee, but they have to do it at a different time because it's just too many people in those two areas to try to do the same event. So they do a separate Oktoberfest, and it works with the Hofbrauhaus. And
it's really cool because where the Aloft is, you walk out half a block and the footbridge into Cincinnati over the Ohio is right there.
Yeah.
So convenient. It's great. You can get your steps in and you can drink.
You know what I didn't realize? I've been there before. So when we went to
the aquarium with this summer, you went there.
Yes, we did. And we were at that Great Wolf Lodge or whatever it was. Yep. And we decided to go down one day. And I remember being down there. I'm like, man, this area is awesome. And it was like there was some fireworks thing happening. It was some holiday weekend or something. But they were like setting everything up on the river, like on the water. People were like already camping out. I was like, man, this place is really, really cool. So I didn't even know that I'd been there before until we talked about it. So I'm stoked. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be awesome. Yeah. I might actually bring Nicole and the kids.
Wow, cool.
Might have them tag along.
Yeah, I think that it would be someone who wanted to bring their spouse, or I think they would have plenty to do.
Oh, yeah.
Not only just hanging out. I mean, you can walk across the bridge and you're on the Cincinnati side, and there's things on both sides. It's a very walkable area. You could get away with not having a car the whole time.
Nice. We'll be celebrating Patrick's soon to be at that time retirement.
Yep.
Speaking of Patrick, today.
Shirt.
Yeah, it reminded me. Patrick. Mouse Pads by Patrick. Guess what today is.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday, Patrick. Even though you'll hear this after, but
Packwick.
Today Kelly is really... Packwick's birthday.
It is.
Kelly laughed at that shirt. She saw it when I got home.
did he turn 85 today?
84.
84. Okay. 84, sorry to push it.
84.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle's like in her early 30s, right?
She's correct.
33.
33.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was 32 last year. That's how I know.
Oh, you're so good with math.
Same kind of math I used to tell what episode we're on. How far back was 100?
Oh, hey, man. Hey, speaking of math, Ronnie, what are we up to in giveaways already this year?
7.2 million.
Man, it's so weird that you just said that number, because that's exactly what I was thinking in my head. 7.2
really?
Million.
Yeah, 7.2. I think we were at 6-something million last time I did it, but yeah, we're keeping track.
Wow.
We've got it all on accounting software, so we know.
What people don't know is that when we send these things out like that festival cooler, it actually arrives in a Range Rover.
Stuffed with cash.
Yeah, stuffed with cash, yeah. So yeah, you get all of it.
We randomly just put a stack of hundreds. I don't know how much that is, but however, like a 3-inch stack of hundreds, that's what we put in there.
Nice.
Whatever that is.
About 40, 50 grand.
Yeah, probably.
Stack of hundreds, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 3/4 of an inch is about 10 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say 3/4 of an inch was?
Yeah, about 10,000 or 1,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, 10,000. You know, so funny story. Let's close out the thing and just say we're really excited for everybody. I cannot wait to see how many people end up coming to this thing. It's going to be great. If you're not a patron, become a patron. And that's not the only thing on Patreon that is a benefit. We also are doing the giveaway for the three of us to come visit your shop if you are at one of the top two tiers. There's lots of great things. But funny story about the money thing. He brought it up. Made me think of something. So when I was in Iraq, I was one of my additional duties, they had this thing called pay agents, where we basically were paying local security. We were paying for projects to help boost the local community and all that stuff, businesses, start businesses. Anyways, while I was there, I handled, I don't know, $2 million in cash during my time there, and paid that out to different people. And I'll never forget the very first time I went to go pick up money. We went to this place called Fob Hammer. It was one of the big Ford operating bases. And there was this little finance office. And I go in there and I have a duffel bag with me. And I said, I'm here to pick up money for, for our unit for this quarter. And he was like, all right. Turns around, opens up this safe, and he puts this stack of $850,000, right? 850 grand he gives me.
Wow.
Puts it up on the table, and it could fit in like a backpack. Like it was still like in the plastic wrap. Like it was a brick. It was a $1 million brick or whatever. Gosh. And he just had to take some out. And I walked out of there with $850,000 in cash, and a stack like this, is $10,000 in hundreds.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It happened more than once.
So then you stop by the local bar and you set your bag down and you forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. He said one for the Iraqis, two for Ben.
Yeah.
So then when you left, were you walking by yourself? What was the details on getting back?
So when I left the finance office, yes, but then we had to drive like an hour and a half back to our outpost. And Jesus. So obviously I was there with a platoon of guys, and we had armored vehicles, but I remember walking back to the truck and they're like, where is it? And I have like this duffel bag that's just like all floppy, and you can tell there's something in it at the bottom. And they're like, where's all the money? And I'm like, it's in there. They're like, are you kidding me? And so everybody wanted to take pictures, like holding all this cash. It was pretty, pretty crazy. I'll tell you what, man, the amount of money that we spent over there for stuff like that. I gave a guy one time $200,000 for some solar streetlights. I didn't dictate or decide who got it. I was just the guy that had the training and knew how to fill out all the paperwork and knew how to track it and count everything. Another funny story.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so we used to pay these guys called, and I know this is not woodworking related, but you talking about the amount of money just brought it up. We paid these guys, it was called the Sons of Iraq. And the Sons of Iraq were a local, they were basically local militias that were out there policing up the streets, you know, hired cops, basically. A lot, in a lot of cases, the same guys that were shooting us, we just paid more, so they stopped, if I'm being quite honest. And so there was this guy, and he was in charge of, like, that city of all of the different groups. Like, he was, like, the head guy. I could tell you all kinds of stories about this dude. And 1 month, I thought I lost $100. I was $100 short. And I didn't say anything when I was sitting down at the table paying all these different leaders of the different, you know, little communities or whatever. And the very next month, that guy, who was in charge of the majority of them, he comes back to the table. We're sitting down. I'm going through and I'm paying everybody. And he pulls a $100 bill out of his pocket. And he says, last month, you gave me $100 too much. I wanted to give this back.
Wow.
And it was great because I hadn't given the one that was short $100 to the person yet. So I was actually able to take that $100 and put it into the envelope. But he did that as, like, a sign of good. You want to be in his good graces. And then he tried to kill my battalion commander. So
no way. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. A couple weeks later. Oh yeah. Yeah. Gosh. My buddy got shot from that.
Wow.
Shot in the leg from that incident. He's fine. Whoa. But
wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Wow. Like, man, can't believe I handled that kind of cash. I was like, I could buy a house with this right here in cash.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Anyway,
sorry. That's, I went off
crazy. No, that's
my good old army days.
Well, those are cool stories.
Mm-hmm. I don't really talk about it very much.
It's crazy how much that goes on and you don't think about it, because that sounds so much like when Toyota started building in Tijuana. And that blew me away. The security company was talking about how they found the heads of the mafia down there, like the people who run the whole thing, and they paid them off where they would leave people alone that worked at the plant, because they knew if they didn't, they would take them for ransom. So yep. They paid them off. Then they hired the people that were the head to work security, work as drivers. They hired the people, they hired them and gave them armored cars. And all that was happening in the background, you know, when no one, I just happened to be in meetings where I heard the details of it because mm-hmm. of the IT side. But just hearing what you said and hearing that, you don't think about how much back end payment happens sometimes to make things go smoothly.
Right.
Most people are oblivious to that. It's interesting.
Oh, man, it's, I could talk about stuff that we did there, and like, it would just blow people's minds. Like I was responsible for that much cash in the 14 months that I was in Iraq, close to $2 million. I still, to this day, actually have a tough box in my basement that has every single documentation piece of paperwork in case they ever come after me and they're like, hey, what was I? I'm like, I have all of it. I have every single thing downstairs. Yeah, I could show you sometime, Sedge. What's that?
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I can show you. I've got all the invoices, everything.
Whenever we've gotten together, you've never mentioned that you were the payee and any of that corruption. And
no,
I just wish you'd called me and told me you needed some solar streetlights. I could have totally taken care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ludicrous. Like, this dude walks in, and that was one that I picked up. It wasn't our original area, but I want to say it was when Russia invaded Georgia. The Georgians, they just up and left Iraq one night. Like, they just said bye and they left. So we ended up having to take over all these different areas that they were responsible for. So I kind of fell in on this one, and I'll never forget this guy. He walks in and he's in like this cheesy suit, right? He has probably some fake Rolex on, and he comes in, and I'm giving this guy $200,000, and that was the remaining payment.
Wow.
That was the remaining payment. And I'm like, how are these guys making this kind of money from these solar streetlights? I don't even know if the things even worked.
They probably bought them on Amazon.
Yeah, probably.
Had them drop shipped.
It was crazy, man. A lot of money. A lot of money was in Iraq and Afghanistan, for sure. I dealt with a lot of financial stuff in Afghanistan as well. I didn't handle any money, but I dealt with allocating certain funds for certain things, by outfitting Afghan offices with like all brand new furniture and crazy stuff.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
Just glad to see my tax dollars going to work properly.
Oh, trust me, you want to talk about going to work. They were going to work over there.
Holy
That's for dang sure. There was a bunch of people that got like busted because they were like skimming money off the top.
Oh, I can imagine.
Like army guys, they were getting like investigated and like arrested and
I can imagine.
Using the money in improper ways.
That was real wicked smart of you to save documentation to cover your ass.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit. That
was a result of people that were getting in trouble. So we relieved 3rd Infantry Division when we got to Iraq, and they were under big time investigation. So I knew right away. I'm like, I'm keeping every single thing. But yeah, I've got a tough box downstairs. I'm pretty sure I still have all of that, because I think when I was going through my retirement stuff, like going all of my stuff together, I went through the boxes, and I was like, should I throw these away? It's way past the what is it called? Like
statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations. Like, it's way past it. But I'm like, I'm pretty sure I still have them. I'm pretty sure I just said screw it. It's just sitting in a tough box. It's not bothering anything. But yeah, I'll show you. I'll see if it's still down there, and I'll show you.
See, sometimes I think I have lived a pretty cool life, and I've seen a lot in my life. But man, there's so much I haven't seen or experienced like that. I mean, I've been in some sketchy situations down in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, but nothing like that. Holy crap.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, the equivalent of my tough box thing was when I knew I was leaving my corporate job, I started forwarding all of my emails to my other one. And it took a long time to do that, because it was like many years of it. I would just pick like 6 months at a time and just forward it, because I wanted all the documents that I've ever created, like in correspondence. You just don't know what you would want. And I'm glad I did it, because shortly after I was finished, they made sure that wasn't possible, like that I wasn't able to do that. They locked out my gateway and did all kinds of things just to be safe. So I was glad I pre-thought it out and did it early.
Yeah.
Because
do you ever regret stepping away from that job?
Still haven't. That was my biggest fear, though. My biggest fear was that I was burnt out and that I would be gone for like 6 months, and I would be like, now that I've had a break, what have I done? That was my biggest fear.
Yeah. And
I remember thinking about that like 9 months in, and had not even crossed my mind. And then it became kind of a running joke to myself that, like, when it got really bad, like just being self-employed, I would drive by there and just go sit in the parking lot, and I would get refreshed, because I would think about that I didn't have to go in there. And I was like, okay, no matter what I'm facing, no matter how bad it is, I don't have to go in there. And it recharged me. It recharged me. And that still works. Still works. I've been gone for like almost 15 years. And I still can, when I feel like it's like, I have a complaint or whatever, I would rather be doing this.
Right. So that's funny, because people, Sedge, I talked to you about this when I was there doing the internship. People always become accustomed to the environment that they're in, right? So you saying that, like, I have to remind myself too sometimes, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this, or I'm stressing about something, or I'm angry about something. It's like, don't fall into that trap. You know what I mean? Like, it's been way worse. So that happened when I was doing ROTC. You know, I went from being a platoon sergeant to going to ROTC, where I worked from 9 till like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was a late day, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And there was guys, I'll never forget this. They would sit there and complain like, hey, we're having a meeting this afternoon. What time? 1400. Oh my God. I had plans. I don't want to be here for that. And I'm like,
2 o'clock.
Dude, it's 2 o'clock. Like, I just came from a job where it was like 5 o'clock in the morning until, 8 o'clock at night. You know, you're at work and dealing with problems and issues, and it's 7 days a week. And I'm like, but by the end of my time there, I was like, oh man, it's Friday. We should be out of here by noon. Well, why are we here at, 1 or 2 o'clock? you start to become accustomed to that environment.
You always got to think about where you came from and what's available out there,
And, you know, I tell people the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Right.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
true. You just got to put up with stuff. And it all depends on how much you can put up with.
Yep.
To pivot the conversation, do you guys want to hear something stupid that I did last night?
Yes. Definitely.
I obviously came to your house yesterday, Sedge, and we grilled steaks. It was great. Had a few beers, got home, and continued to have some drinks. And before I knew it, I was pretty drunk. And when Jason gets drunk,
he buys
which
things.
Is very, yeah, he buys things.
Did you buy something?
I did.
I
bought another watch.
It all made sense.
Yep. And
let us know what time it is.
I didn't buy another Rolex or anything. No, I did. I bought another watch. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, I can't tell Nicole this, right? I cannot tell her. And it was eating away at me this morning because I hadn't told her. And I was like, honey, I need to tell you something. I did something stupid. And she's like, oh, my God, what? And I'm like, I bought a watch last night. She's like, well, why didn't you tell? Like, you need to tell me these things. I'm like, I can't lie to you. I can't keep this from you. She's like, and you shouldn't be. Oh, man. Yeah, alcohol and late nights with me do not mix. Mm-mm. I've ordered many Festools late night drinking.
That's okay. Said she needs to retire someday.
So, and then I was talking to Matt Outlaw, 731. I found out at WorkbenchCon that he's becoming a watch guy as well. He's looking to buy his first one. So we were just geeking out on that. And I was talking back and forth with him. And of course, you know, me being drunk while doing that got me all excited. And yeah, I did it. Stupid. Stupid.
It's all right.
But it arrives tomorrow and I can't wait.
Nice.
Priority overnight. What's that?
What'd you get?
It's a Tudor Black Bay. It's the one that I've wanted ever since I really started looking at watches a lot. I've just never pulled the trigger, and it's a much lower priced Tudor watch than most of the others. But this particular one has a black dial and a blue bezel, and I don't know what it is about it. I've always wanted it. I've just never pulled the trigger, and the price was the lowest I'd seen. So. And, you know, I was drunk, so why not?
Made sense.
I told her it's basically your fault because, Sedge, you invited us over to your house. You had the beers in the fridge, so you started me down that rabbit hole that I went down yesterday.
I'm the enabler.
Yeah, so I'm just letting you know next time you see Nicole, she's going to be pretty upset with you.
It's okay.
It's Sedge's fault.
Yeah, it's always my fault. I'm good like that.
Yeah.
Good like that.
Last night Sedge was like, You don't have a black Tudor? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one with a blue bezel? Like, isn't that the one you like,
you don't
really,
have one
really
of those
want?
And you say you're collecting watches? No big deal. Weird. No big deal.
That's very strange.
I got a little inebriated. You know how we had our talk, we got together last Thursday to chat about Green Suitors Con?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. It almost felt like Monday again after talking with you guys that night. But I made an announcement to these guys, and I'll say it. My grandson passed his nursing exam, and he got licensed in several states. So Marianne and I were quite excited. Remember I told you he was thinking of coming up? He'll be here Thursday night. He's going to come up for 2 weeks, stay with Marianne while I'm at JLC. We are so excited. I'll be able to hang with him for 5 days. I'm so damn proud of him.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I assume we're going to see him this weekend then, huh?
Yep. For sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to JLC next.
Oh, next week, dude. I leave. I leave on Tuesday morning at 5 a.m.
I need to add to my to-do list to let Kelly know that I'm going to JLC.
Ronnie.
Told her yet.
Oh, by the way, I won't be Ronnie.
Uh-oh.
You're a dead man.
She just said, you're horrible. I booked it while she was sleeping one night, and then I just hadn't talked to her about it. This is the first time you've ever.
Honey,
the first
I'm
time
going
she's
to JLC.
Ever, first time she's
honey,
ever
I'm going to JLC.
During it, and you heard that. Yes, without you. No, it's not going to be a nice time with it. I'm just going for it. Well, we'll talk about it later.
It just blame Sedge like he's blaming his Tudor watch on Sedge.
Yep, it's Sedge's fault. Yep.
It's always Sedge's fault.
So we went to JLC once when the weather was really nice. She went with me. It was when
I remember
COVID had changed the schedule, and instead of it being the time of the year that it is, it was during the summer, and that's a great time to go up. And she went with me, and it was really fun. A lot of our things were outdoor activities, but you know, now when we go, it's still pretty cold outside. But I booked it while she was asleep, and I thought, well, I need to do it. We came up from our podcast that night. And we were going to go to Workbench Con. I thought, I don't want to confuse her and talk about another event that I'm going to soon. But this has came up a lot faster than I realized.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of thought it was 3 or 4 weeks out, even like a week ago. I didn't realize that it was coming up that fast.
Oh.
I just didn't. Yeah. I mean, March the what? Was it the 19th? What is it? The 21st and 22nd?
It's 22nd and 23rd.
That sounds so far away to me. How are we
it's
there?
It's already the 11th.
I know. How are we there already? It's blowing me away right now. I still feel like we're in the dead of winter in some ways. It's just strange.
So when you talk about time flying, we had a meeting today, and we're talking about, it's no secret, Festool celebrating next year, 100-year anniversary. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. And 25 years here in the U.S. And I said, we just celebrated 20th with the Emerald Edition. I went, oh my God, it was like yesterday to me. 5 years went by like that. And the other thing is we celebrated 90 years. I mean, that was 10 years ago, but that seems like it was the other day. I still have, you know, guide rails that say 90 years Festool.
Well,
so I'm just like, and I pulled somebody aside afterwards. I go, didn't we just celebrate those? And he looked at me and goes, yeah, boy, it did fly by quick, 10 years and 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how quick it goes. So
it is.
Yeah. We get some cool stuff planned for that. I'll tell you. Woo!
I feel like time is going by so much faster now that I'm out of the military.
Uh-huh.
Because it's hard to believe that it is, you know, now March 11th. And then looking at like how quickly things fill up, like JLC next week. The very next weekend, we'll be at Patrick and Michelle's. 10 days later, I'll be in Santa Barbara because I'm going to visit J-Cats. And then we're going to Germany. And I think about the things that I want to get done in the house. And I'm like, looking at my schedule now, it's like, when am I going to do this? Like, when am I going to do these things? Know. Because things just keep. And before you know it, it's going to be May and we're going to be coming back from Germany and it's halfway through the year.
Isn't that crazy?
It's unbelievable.
It's funny because today I was, because I knew the dates for our Green Suiters Con, and I was thinking about that. But I also have to think all the things I have to do in October. I have meetings about November tomorrow. And December is always, you know, we have national sales meeting. I take half the month off because that's when I take my PTO. And I'm just like, and 2020, it's going to roll around too quick in the next four or 5 years. I can't believe how fast it is moving. And for me, I like to stay busy. And this week, I have so much to do. Because when I leave on Tuesday morning at 5 a.m., I don't want to think about anything back here in Indiana. My mind is JLC and then vacation with my sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take care of a ton of stuff back home, too. It's weird. I still call Maine home.
I have a question about that. Since Garrett is riding with you, is he flying back and you're just continuing on? Okay.
Yeah. One of the contingencies says, okay, I don't want to take an Uber to the airport. You got to drive me to the airport. He is the funniest guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, you got it. So you know what that means? Hey, did you say you had a 10 a.m. flight? I'm just kidding. No, I'll get him to the airport and then I'll head up to Maine and just chill. Pretty awesome. I'll try to get out early enough so I can meet up with Gil at the Weather Vane, because for 16 years, him and I have been hanging out in Kittery and having a nice dinner at the Weather Vane. It's a great, classic place right across from the Kittry Trading Post.
Ooh, that reminds me. I need to get shoot Steve a message and let him know it'll be the three of us plus Garrett.
Plus and Pascal, plus, right?
Plus Pascal.
Pascal. And Karina is coming too.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to have, it's just going to be fun next week in Providence. It really is. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I always love going there.
Yeah. It's, and for me, it's going to the beginning early. Of springtime.
Yes. The time change made me feel it today.
Yeah.
I say, because doing our podcast, you know, we go from doing it at dark to doing it when the sun's still out. And that's a dramatic change when it starts being still sunny.
Yeah.
And it's, I like it.
Hey, like Ronnie. Light.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie, guess what I finished building this weekend? And I just got to do the finishing on the top.
Is it your window seat?
Yes. Yes.
I saw it yesterday. I walked in. I was like, whoa, hey, this thing.
Yeah. And guess what?
It's pretty much done.
Saturday afternoon, Marianne was sitting on it and she started to cry.
Oh, because it doesn't have finish on it?
Yeah. Yes, because she didn't think it would come out this raunchy. She, you know what she said?
Started to cry because of the shoddy work that said
she said it was shoddy.
Shoddy. Yeah, that means, like, you don't get, that means you don't.
Who'd
get
you learn from? Ronnie Fulton?
That means you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's funny. That
I'll have it.
That beats you
for those of you who are religious listeners. I'll have an update for that in about 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good. Cool. It's a good update.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man, I can't. Yeah, we're gonna have some nice talks next week, aren't we? The three of us.
Yes. Yes.
For
yes.
Sure. For sure.
Yes.
It's not like Workbench Con, where we always go to Workbench Con, and then, I mean, Jason came up to me and goes, I didn't even talk to Ronnie yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Crazy. There's so many people. And you know, I say that every year, I either tell Kelly or I've said it on the podcast probably, but I'll see people sometimes, the best way to explain it, I'll see people three or four times and think, I still haven't talked to that person. I still, mm-hmm. there's that person again. I still haven't talked to them. 2 days goes by and I'll see them across the room talking to somebody. I'll be like, I still haven't talked to that person. And usually a lot of times you leave and you never talk to some of those people. You never make it. You never make it over. So it's Workbench Con's overwhelming. I don't think JLC is overwhelming that way, which is nice.
No, but it is very busy. Yeah, like, I remember last year.
Overwhelming.
I feel like I almost didn't talk to you guys at all, especially on
You were up at point. You were up at point, and you looked back a couple times, going, "Wow, this is unreal." And yeah. I was covered up, but Ronnie was. You were kind of next to me a lot, Ronnie.
Yeah. I floated back and forth between Jason and you. I just went back and forth. I learned. That's where I mastered everything about the saw, because I heard your spill over and over and over again. I knew more but than what, I ever knew about it.
What was the most? This is the classic trade show that you looked at me at the end and you said, that was brilliant. Someone said, that saw fits in there? And I went, let me show you. So it ends at 5, right? At 4:30, I started packing it up. I was all packed up at 4:45.
He looked at me. He's like, I'm not setting that back up again. That was showing how to put it up.
I did it both days. Everybody turned around the second day, and I go, I was just standing there on my phone. Yep. I was all finished up. Yep. Stain a saw.
All done.
Everybody wants to know how much it weighs.
Yeah. Everybody last year wanted to know how much it cost.
And when it was coming out.
Yes. Yes. Got to hear the guesses. And most people guessed high, which is interesting. Yep.
Everybody said 4,500.
Yeah, I was wrong too.
Doing the Conturo, obviously you have to let it cool down. And I remember on that second day, on the last day of the show, I was like, well, I better put this thing off to the side and let it start cooling down, because it's going to take, you know, 30 minutes or whatever before we can put it in the sustainer. And I had done that, and this guy walks up.
I remember.
And he was like, oh, I'd really like to get some information on that. And I felt bad, but I told him, I'm like, yeah, well, it's cooling down. Like, we're getting ready to pack everything up. It takes X amount of time. But I ended up walking him through the Conturo without actually demoing the tool, and he bought the entire system.
Everything. Yep. He bought everything.
As everything. They were closing. Yep. Yes. Every single
everything.
Piece.
Everything. You had the last sale of the day.
Yeah.
I did.
I remember
it was
that
a
too.
Big one.
I'm hoping this year I do, because that's all I'm doing this year is going to be the Conturo. I tried to do the LR32 last year, but it just
too much.
Everybody was so interested in the Conturo. It was like,
yeah. And plus all the selfies you had to take with everybody too.
Yeah.
Or no, the people that walked up next to me and looked at me in the face, and apparently I made eye contact and then I turned my head and walk away.
Yeah.
That I do too. All the time at all the shows. Yeah. I mean that.
That's funny.
Unreal.
I had something funny that I wanted to make sure I shared with our little family of green suiters. This is pretty funny. So I'm doing a video for a stud sensor, a wall scanner type thing. And I made a little mock-up wall and I sent it to him for approval and put a piece of insulation on there to kind of show that you can, you know, sense and you can see through insulation. I get a message back from the company and they're like, we would like for you to move the cardboard from the fiberglass so it's clearly apparent that it's fiberglass. I was like, are you referring to the moisture barrier paper that's on the insulation when you install it? You want me to pull that off? And it totally went over their head. They thought that was something you remove before you install the insulation.
What?
I just thought that was so funny because they were like, we need you to move the cardboard off the insulation. I was like, no, that's supposed to be there. That's
that's what? Yeah, I'm going to have to take a hard pass on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to itch all night.
Well, they were concerned it was also going to make it not work. And I was like, if that paper throws that off after it goes through up to an inch of drywall and it can scan 4 inches into a wall, if that paper throws it off, we have a problem. But it didn't. But I just thought that was funny. I just, you know, you never know what you're going to get feedback when you send something for approval. And that one was a new one for me because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I've got to explain to you what this is. It's not cardboard.
Very interesting. I'll tell you what, last night, about this time, I released a video I had been wanting to do forever. And Marianne's been seeing my Amazon account, business account. She's like, you spent $100 on pencils? And then all of a sudden, she's telling my brother-in-law, and then all of a sudden I did it again, right? Because I wanted to get black wings. I wanted to get, so the whole story behind it is every year I get like all these 9mm mechanical pencils and they disappear, right? Pencils disappear. So we shot the video yesterday and it came through and I started watching and Jason came over with the fam, but it was 21 minutes long about pencils.
Wow.
For the shot. Of course, I went through the Pikas, I went through mechanical pencils, and I went with Blackwing pencils. I already have so many comments on this video, and I think I'm at around 7,500 views right now in less than 25 hours.
Oh, wow. Wow.
24 hours. And I'm just like, I knew it. Chris was like, you got to be kidding me. I go, dude, it's one of those things that it's an essential tool in the shop. And I go nuts on them. And it's funny. It was just cool to see some of the comments on Blackwing pencils. And someone said, welcome to the obsession, Sedge. Because it's one of those topics about choosing the right mechanical pencil or choosing the right marking device.
Yeah,
and why do you need a 0.3? Why do you need a 0.5 or a 0.7, a 0.9? Why do you need a Pika? You know, why should I spend the money on this expensive pencil versus I can get 72 9mm pencils? And Marianne goes, oh boy, are those mine? I go, I gave half to Chris and Emily.
Awesome.
So, you know what? I wanted to do that video for so long. I spent $200 on pencils. I don't care. It was so much fun.
I've always been surprised by how often I get a comment, somebody saying, hey, what were you using to mark your lumber? What were you using when you marked that thing? Because I have a whole bunch of different things as well, but it's a very common question. So I'm not surprised the video is doing well, because it's, I would have actually titled it like, I talk about pencils for 21 minutes.
I know.
People would have been so curious, like, wait, what? How?
Gosh, when you said the 21 minutes, it stuck with me because it takes so much to make 21 minutes for me to make that long. Like, I'll make a video, I'm like, this one's long. Man, I'm this longest video I've ever made, 8 minutes. It's like, I think every one that I've made, it usually ends up being 8, 9, or 10 minutes. And I think it comes from my short video mentality. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to make it longer. I'm trying to make it so short, and I'm cutting out as much as I can that I have trouble getting past 10 minutes.
People are sending me pictures of their black wing collections.
That's good. You've called it a passion.
And it's so daggone cool. Sedge, I don't want to tell you this, but you just made me buy these. Sedge, I want to tell you something about this pencil, because I think you need this pencil. And it's kind of fun repartee going back and forth in the comments. And I didn't realize, I knew how passionate people were about their marking devices, and they are. But some people said, one guy said, this is the best pencil video ever. And it's pretty cool. I like watching pencil videos like you guys like watching watch videos.
Well, speaking of watch videos,
that would be vote videos. I only got one guy that I watched, and this one guy takes the watches apart and puts it back together again. I think that's awesome.
Yes, I watched one the other night. So I had a Patreon call for my Patreon, and this video popped. I watch a lot of watch videos now, obviously, because I'm just so into it. But I haven't really spent any time watching like assembly and disassembly videos. There was this ultra rare like 1958 Rolex. It was like the original Coke, or no, it was the Pan Am version. It was actually a blue and red bezel, super super rare, beat to shit. Somebody found it.
I've seen that one
in their grandfather's
drawer
or whatever.
It's cloudy, the lens on it, the sapphire is like totally blurry. Yeah,
it was an hour long. I could not
me too
look away from it. I watched the entire thing.
That's the one I was talking about like last week when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Sedge, you would appreciate, even if you just could despise watches, you would find this amazing. This guy takes this watch, takes completely apart, puts it back together again, and it works. And he keeps the same sapphire crystal lens, right? Because he didn't
want to. No, he replaced it.
Did he replace it? I think he talked about he wanted to keep it, but he didn't. But he kept a lot of other things where it had the patina, you know. But it just, it's so cool. It's just neat to see.
It's fascinating because it's so, like, how, and this isn't just with watches, but just think of any small item that has that many moving pieces in it. It's like, how do you remember how all of those things go together? Clearly, he's been doing it for years, right? But to know every single piece and screw and wheel, and it's just freaking phenomenal.
The spring looks like a hair. It looks like a hair. That's what makes the watch work. It's like, it looks like as thin as a hair. It's so small, you can barely see it. And that's what gives it its power. Because, you know, it's centrifugal with like your wrist moving, winds it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's almost like a perpetual, but it doesn't count because your arm is giving it the energy, I guess. But if it wasn't for that, it'd be like perpetual motion. It's cool. It's neat. That's a really cool idea for a, and like you said, it's amazing. You can watch a whole hour video. You'd think that would be boring, but it's not. No. And he's showing it in real time. He's not speeding things up. It's real time. Like, he's like, let's grab the so-and-so pulley and set it right here. Let's grab this and put it right here. And you're sitting there, you're watching it because you're thinking, there's no way he's going to be able to put that back together. There's no way.
Right. And he does.
These screws are the smallest screws. The only thing I've ever seen close is the iPhone. I've taken an iPhone apart before. Those screws on an iPhone are like that small. They're like,
yeah, the T7s, right? Yeah.
They can't even see the bit, like the little Phillips bit on there. It's so cool. He uses
Nicole, actually. I told Nicole about it because I got off the call and I wanted to know if she was still awake, and she wasn't. I was like, oh, I'm going to hang out down here for a little bit, finish my drink. I'll just throw on a YouTube video. And then an hour later, I'm like, I've got to go upstairs.
What's the name of the video?
Look in your history, because I saw that one a while back. It's been like 6 months ago, but it'd be in your history.
I'll send you a link to it, Sedge.
Okay.
I don't know how to check my history on the app on my phone, but
it's also a good example of having the right tools. Like when he flips it over, like I've always wondered how you get it. He has a special thing that turns and it just opens the back of the case up. It's like simple, easy peasy, no problem at all because he has the right tool. So he has like the right tool for everything. It's like this little suction cup thing grabs. If you didn't have that, you'd be like, how would I even do that? So he's got all the right tools. It's really cool.
I told Nicole about it and she was like, I feel like that would be something that you would actually enjoy doing. And I'm like, oh, I absolutely would. I think it's incredible. They actually have, there's a company out there that has, like, you can buy watch kits and it'll come with like a movement. It'll come with a strap. It'll come with a case, the sapphire, all that stuff in a little toolkit. And you can make your own, put together your own watch. And then they have different levels. You know, they have like really easy ones all the way up to like really complicated ones that, you know, take a lot longer to do.
That'd be neat.
So I'll probably do that at some point.
Only problem though is when I used to build model cars when I was little, I used to look at the engine parts and I would decide that that was too much. I just wanted to see the finished car. So I'd just glue the hood shut, leave the engine out.
Right.
I did do that.
Yeah. Did you really?
I did. But I do. I remember one time I had
his great grandmother taught him that.
I had a Pontiac Fiero model and I thought I became really smart about doing that. I put the axles across there and leave the engine out. Apparently the Fiero being a rear engine, the axles were attached to the motor. So like you had to kind of put the motor together to put the back wheels on. And I was going through my standard procedure of leaving out all the engine parts and realized that I couldn't do it on that one. So I got called out.
You know, nice. I totally forgot that I used to build models as well and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I should pick that hobby up again.
I enjoyed it, but the thing that always upset me was that I could not paint the cars to look the way that they were supposed to. And knowing what I know now, it's because the model paint you get is too thick. It needed to be thinned out and it needed to be sprayed. So I was using a brush with thick paint, trying to paint a car body and sitting there going, why does this not look good?
Guys, did you do model rockets?
Yep.
I tried a rocket once and it was a dud. So I never did another one. It didn't launch on me.
I was so into them with my brother until my mother caught us putting frogs in the payload. And we were firing them at houses and shit. It was awesome. We were like, hey, let's fire. Because we had a little sand lot and we had a backstop. And we were firing those Estes rockets right into the backstop.
That's awesome.
But what are you guys launching? A bunch of red ants.
Red ants.
We don't like anything. We were like putting frogs in the payload and worms and ants. It was awesome.
That's memorable.
That's
for
something
the
that I would like to that I would like to get into with Leo. I think he would have a blast with those.
The model rockets? Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so much daggone fun. We spent all our paper route money on engines and, you know, rockets and models, and there's a lot to teach there because you're also, you know, sawing balsa wood and putting things together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I
and launching payloads?
Yeah,
exactly.
We'd put a strap like little action figures to them.
Yes.
Sedge, I know I talked to you about it, but at your house yesterday. But Nicole and I finished the video shoot for the cabinet videos, and it went incredibly, incredibly well. And I'm really pleased with how the videos turned out. You were talking about, long videos and short videos. Now, the first one is about an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
And the second one, I have the last section that I have to edit down, but it's currently at an hour and 15. So they'll probably both be about the same. We decided to just split it up into two videos instead of three or four. And
yep.
I mean, I'm so incredibly impressed by how smooth it did go. Like refilming things like was almost non-existent. The chemistry was really good. And as I'm editing and I'm like, this is turning out exactly how I was hoping, which is me just having a conversation with Nicole. Like I would be teaching anybody how to do it. Right. Like if you know, my next door neighbor came over and he was like, hey, teach me how to build cabinets. Same exact thing. We just happened to film it, right? So because of that, it is going to be a much longer watch. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is, she did everything. Like, she edge banded, she installed hinges. We did the undermount drawer slides. She built a drawer box. We installed all that. She built a face frame. We assembled the cabinet. We used all inexpensive stuff, mostly Craig products, Craig jigs and that kind of stuff. All very entry level, basic stuff. And it turned out fantastic. Fantastic. I cannot wait for these videos to come out. Though, because I'm so excited about them, they will probably flop.
Or maybe, right? It'll take a while for them to get legs. But
I mean, probably just the sheer time alone. But I think that there'll be videos that just continue to build momentum. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll do eventually, probably while I'm in Germany, is I'll take both videos, put them together, and then release that, title it something different, but release that and have a compilation style video, like a very detailed instructional video, just all in one. Because you know how it is. It's amazing how many videos people don't know you release, right? Mm-hmm. I get all the time, oh, I wish you had a video that was this. I'm like, I do. I have two, right? Like, nobody goes and like looks at your page, you know?
That's what I'm going to do. There's a couple of videos I was looking at, and they were duds. I thought they would do good, and I'm going to redo them.
Yeah.
And I as a test for my brain to see. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I see, you know, you did the shaker door, and I see how you built the cabinet. Would you release a video on how to do the cup hinge? And I went, okay, it's on Shaker Door Part 2 at 10:52. I sent them the timestamp and everything.
Right.
And they said, that's not really easily accessible for people. So I'm going to doing the 35 millimeter cup hinge on with the LR32. Just a short, you know, 2-hour video.
Right. Yeah.
Short intro.
I am all about those longer videos, because they are just, they're performing so much better for the most part.
Yeah.
And they produce a lot more revenue, to be quite honest, right?
No, don't be honest with us.
Yeah. I'm doing it all for the money. But yeah, no, I'm really excited about them. They don't, the first one
I
will
just
come
think that's
out.
Cool.
The first video, I'm a little bummed out, because I wish that we would could continue this, and I just don't think it's going to be realistic. She actually got some news today about her position and the where they want to bring her back full time. It's probably going to end up happening in like the next 3 weeks. So, obviously we're not going to be able to make it continue, but I'm really intrigued. I mean, who knows? Maybe the feedback that I get on these videos is incredibly positive and they go crazy and people want to see it more. And maybe we do try to work something out to where we can do another series, but I just don't know if it's going to work out, unfortunately. But the first one will come out like last week of March. And then the second one will come out the very next week, first week of April.
You know, it's funny. You know that pencil video I was talking about? I just checked. 500 more views since we've been talking. It's crazy.
Wow. Wow. What's the CTR on it?
I think it's 6.65. Let me see.
I like the title.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, come on. 6.2.
I still think you should change it to say, watch me yap about pencils for 21 minutes. No,
you know
that's
what?
Awesome. It'll probably keep
it
going.
Is, like, you guys have a passion for watches. It sounds funny, but I just like pencils. I don't know why.
Well, I like the two that you gave me.
Yep, the black.
I need to get a good pencil sharpener now, though.
Yeah, man, this thing is nice.
Yeah.
Paid, I think, $25 for that, but that's a black wing, and it points it perfect. Yeah, so it's funny because I'm already planning 2.0, but there's another few things in my shop that are the same way. And I'm going to do a video on those few things too, because I have a lot of those things that I've tried over the years, and it's fun. You know, and every shop wants to know, why do I need these?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I guess over the years, you don't think you know what you know, but I like to share what I know. And then people go, thank you for your knowledge. And I'm just like, I'm just doing it because I'm having fun. And I'm like, I don't want you to buy crap. I want you to buy good stuff.
Right.
You know, so.
Link down
that's,
below.
That's my attitude about this. It's been my attitude at Festool. I owned Festool before I worked for Festool. I love the tools. And I couldn't believe they were hiring me to teach people how to use the tools. And then when I get to Lebanon and I get a brand new training center, I said, so how do I bring inventory? They hand me a catalog. They go, yeah, just order 4 or 5 of each. And I'm like, what the hell? And then they continue to pay me to teach people something I have a major passion for. And guess what? I did it with pencils yesterday.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Hey, pencils are important.
So here's what I'll tell people out there. If you're hesitating at all, and we talked a little bit about this, Jason, yesterday. Why do people hesitate about woodworking and starting a project? Or I hear this all the time. I'm getting ready to start a YouTube channel. Just freaking start it.
Right.
Just start it. Fail forward. And when you do that, all of a sudden you'll go, if you have a passion for something, it shows. Mm-hmm. I love watching people that are fumbling and bumbling. And guess what? Then I watch them again in a couple months and I'm like, wow, they still have that passion. And boy, they bought some good equipment. Right. Then you see them a few months later and all of a sudden you go, holy crap, they got more goddamn followers than me. But I'm happy for them because guess what? They tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the name of the game. If you're thinking about doing it, stop thinking. Just do it. You know, me talking that took 17 years to make a goddamn window seat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
17 years is the blur. Boy.
17 years. Finally got
is
it.
Is happy. Oh, my God. Is she happy?
So what's the next project that you're going to do 17 years from now?
Oh, no. You know, you even asked me yesterday, didn't it feel good to get that built? I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got some other plans for this summer. But some of it's going to be yard work. I got to get about 3 or 4 yards of loam brought in because I got to fill in around the foundation, level it out a little, and then set some more stones, more pavers. So that's going to be a big project, but I love yard work. I'm a weird cat, man, when it comes to that stuff. I've never had anybody mow my lawn. I like raking leaves. Oh my God, am I an idiot or what? But you know what?
Same.
Hey, you want to hear something cool? I installed my first solar panel yesterday, Ronnie.
Oh, really?
On Saturday, actually.
Where'd you put it?
It's for my one of my Arlo cameras. It's a small, task orientated panel.
Yes.
But guess what? I don't have to go up that ladder anymore for that one camera. So I'm going to order another 3 tonight.
Yeah,
they work.
I want those. We have Arlo's at our house, and that's a painful thing to have to remember, like once every few weeks to get up and charge those. We have them for around the pool. And it's funny, you know how we talk about temporary things sometimes. I set it on the brick windowsill of our master bedroom. That's where I set the camera. It became the perfect spot for the camera, and I just open up the window. I open up the window and I take it off the windowsill, plug it in, put it back. But it's still a pain. It's still a pain. Yeah, it gets a perfect shot, and it's 2 stories up. Nobody can get to it, and it's just sitting there.
Yep.
But I for my shop, I want to ask Jason again what that brand of camera you told me was.
Wise.
Wise. Yes. We Cameron, after you told me that, when Cameron and I stopped at that place in Indianapolis and saw the filament, was it Micro Center? Yeah, they have those there. And wow, those are cheap. They're so much cheaper than like Arlo cameras. So I wanted to get those for my shop. So I'm going to set those that network up. I do like the Arlo cameras and the software and everything. I'll just keep those here, but I want to go to the other ones at the shop.
The Wyze, I've been very happy with. Patrick is the one that actually turned me on to them. And I was shocked by how inexpensive they were. But I was talking with Sedge about this yesterday. I have two outdoor cameras that are wireless. And one of them, I think, actually is like dead now. Like the camera died because it got a crack in it or something. So I need to replace that one. But I charged them. God, it's been a couple of months now at this point, 2 months ago, and we looked at how much battery power that camera still has, and it's at 45%.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know the Blink cameras are really good about battery life too. Arlos are like the worst with battery life, but
It
I
all
think you
depends on.
compromise the quality of the video. It just takes the battery life down. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's also, you gotta also work on the sensitivity for motion. And
Yes.
the one I put the solar panel on, it's headed at my street and I get a good shot of my driveway, but it
Yeah.
gets every car going by. But
Yes.
that's okay for me.
Yes.
And it gets all the dogs walking by, pedestrians. And that's the one that drained the quickest. That was every 3 to 4 weeks I was up
That
on the
was
ladder
us.
picking it up.
Yep,
And
same with me.
now I was at 40% when I installed it, and now I'm at 80%.
Oh, wow. That's
And
good.
it's
Yeah, I
pretty.
need to do the solar thing on those for sure.
Yeah, Ronnie, $45 each.
Wow.
But I'm
Yeah, that.
buying three for 112, I guess.
Well, that's what I need three. So that would be. That's where you think about the time that I spend grabbing those, putting on the charger, and they take a long time to charge too. It takes
Yes, they
hours
do.
for them to charge. So it's a long drawn out process. Usually I'll end up not having a camera for a few days because by the time I remember to take it, put it on the charger, take it off. So
And
yeah, I would like to improve that process.
the number one that we want is the front porch, so we can see our Amazon packages and stuff.
Yes.
So
Yes.
I'm just gonna order the other the other three, and it takes less than 15 minutes to install. It's but I just gotta work the cables on them, so they're not so ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get like 11 and a half feet cable with each one.
You know a project I just took on recently that, we've been in our house for like 19 years. Bathroom fans. Did I talk about that last week?
Oh my
Upgrading them.
God. I've had that
Yeah.
on my list for 17 years. You put in Panasonics?
Yes, the
Yeah,
whisper
they're the.
quiet ones. And we put the first one we put in our master bath. When I turned the switch, I didn't hear anything. I went down this path of checking the circuit, checking to see if the wire was live, checking all these things. Did not realize it was just so quiet. It was
Okay.
running.
I'm going to talk
Yeah.
to you about it at
It was running.
ALC.
Well, the nice thing about these fans, all of them, they are bigger than the one that normally comes in your house. So you're only cutting a larger hole. You're not cutting, a smaller hole. Get attic access is a plus if you can get in the attic. But the best way to explain the difference is that whenever I have ever taken a shower, even if that fan's on, the steam will get on the mirror and go down. I've noticed since we put it in, almost no steam at all. The most I've
You
seen
gotta
on an
be kidding me.
extended
No, they
shower,
make a
maybe
huge difference.
the top inch, maybe at as most I've ever seen. And it is because it's moving so much. It's not just about being quiet. It moves so much more CFMs than like the standard ones. So I wished we had done that a long time ago.
Yeah,
A
see, I
long time
have been
ago.
putting that off and putting that off. They make those Panasonic Whisper series are the ones I want. I just gotta get up in the attic to see if I get a 3-inch takeoff or a 4-inch takeoff. I think I probably have 3-inch.
I had
I've been
it,
up there before.
it we I had 3-inch, the metal kind of flexible ducts like you'd see on a dryer. I had 3-inch. I had to get a 4 to 3-inch adapter for all of them because these have 4-inch ducts and it goes to a 3. So I just did a 4 to 3. Four of those at Lowe's was with in a roll of duct tape was $76 to see.
They're the
So
best.
funny.
They're always listed as the number one fat fan,
Yeah,
That's what we call them, fat fans.
It does move a lot more moisture.
I can't remember what brand we did in the house down in Greenwood, but we replaced them. The only thing that I didn't have, I wasn't willing to go up there and putz around in the attic, but getting the existing fans out can be very tricky sometimes mm-hmm. because of, you know, they install those things before there's any drywall.
Yes.
So they're like nailed into the wood, and to try to get that out is a huge pain in the butt.
Yep. I had two, it's
possible.
I had two that used roofing nails to put it on there. And Jesus. the other one was Phillips screws. So it's like, it must've been two different people that installed them, but I liked the screws so much better than the other ones. I had to get a pry bar underneath it and pull them out. And that was a pain. It's easier to do it from the top. Definitely. Oh. But I put all three of them in probably 2.5 hours. It wasn't bad.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Leo.
Hi, girly boy.
Hi, Leo. He took his first shower just now.
No way.
Oh, did you turn the fan on? Did you get that humidity out?
Yeah.
No, our fans are awful.
Yeah.
Our fans are so bad. They're loud. They're like the builder grade ones that they put in when they built the house 20 years ago.
They're horrible. They rattle and shake and you hit them with the towel and then they shake some more.
And they don't really do a lot either. They're kind of more just noisemakers. You realize that after you install the other ones.
Yeah, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got to put 5 because I got 2 in the master. 1, 2 in the other bathroom. I got 4 or 5 I got to put in.
Yeah, we picked, we did 3. Cameron's bathroom and our master and the one in our entry foyer. We did 3, just the main ones that are used. I'd like to do more, but I just knew that's all I wanted to tackle. The boxes, that was one of Kelly's Christmas presents. And, she kept the box sitting like in our room, and then she moved it to our closet, like right where I had to walk over it every time. I think it was a hint. Finally, I was like, I started opening the box. She goes, are you going to put it in? Like, I guess I need to because she keeps putting it in my way.
That's funny as heck.
But she loves it. What got me was I knew that you could hear it. It was quiet, but it's a slow start. So when you turn the fan on at first, you don't hear anything at all for like 7-8 seconds. And then you kind of hear the fan kind of get up to speed and you can barely hear like a really, really low little hum. But that part alone makes it worth it. And then to know that it performs so much better. I mean, and it should, because the birdcage part of the fan is maybe like 7-8 inches across and like 5 inches wide compared to the little one that you get, like the little brawn version.
Yeah.
That's just like a plate with little 1-inch flappers on it. Totally different design. But one of those things that I would have liked to have done earlier, but
now that's going to be on my list of things to do. I'm slacking so much on like all these little nitpicky house things, you know, like I still don't have transitions on like my doorways from after I did the flooring. I still have some blinds that I need to hang back up from the window job. I still like all of these little tiny, cliffhanger things that I just want to spend like, one week. It's just like all I'm doing is going through the house and I'm fixing this spot of drywall and I'm putting down these transitions.
What's worked out for me lately, it's for sure like the last year, I tell Kelly, I'm like, next week on Monday, my van's coming to the house. Just let me know what you want me to do. And I just kind of let her be she's the boss. And if I have my van at the house, I'm powerful. I can do everything. I have all my tools there.
That's so cool.
But if it's not here, though, she'll be like, I really wish you could do. Can't. Don't have my van. It's like my standard reason. It's an excuse, but it's also a reason. But when it's here and I blocked off the day, it's amazing how much you can get done if you just say, I'm focused on this today at the house. I've got all my tools. What do you want me to do?
Right.
And like those things you listed, like the blinds, transition strips, all those, just do them all in the same day.
Yeah.
Knock it out.
But it's never a good time.
These days.
That's what's awesome about when it's for yourself, it's easy just to say, just keep the fans on the closet floor and don't worry about it.
Well, it could actually just be a day like I don't have to worry about filming any content or anything. I just go around the house fixing stuff. And those are always enjoyable days.
Yeah. I like to do as much as I can in one day. You're only getting the tools out once that way.
Yeah. Well, I better think this is my cue to go upstairs and play with Leo before he goes to bed.
How was the shower?
Ask him. Apparently. How was the shower? So good. He said, ah, so good.
What's he got, a strawberry?
No, he was eating some weird, like, little snack. It actually, the flavor was strawberry, but.
Oh.
But cool. Super excited about this meetup that we're going to do. If you're not a patron, consider becoming a patron. Patreon.com/GreenSuitersPodcast and sign up. And if you're a patron, you can come to the meetup.
It'll be so much daggone fun. Guaranteed. Yes.
I'm just excited to hear what the feedback is going to be, if like people are excited about it. So we'll know in about a week.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, boys.
All right. All right.
Have a great night.
We'll see you next Monday.
See you next Monday.
Hey, Nick, thanks for signing up as a patron.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple and Spotify.
Yes.
And so that means
listening to Off the Cut.
Off the who?
Yeah.
Off the what?
Off the Cut. Worst podcast. Oh,
this is where we say bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.